I'd like you to turn to that passage in Daniel that we've just read, Daniel chapter 4. I expect it's a story that most of you know, I hope you do anyway. The time of Daniel is an interesting time, of course. Daniel was carried away in the captivity under King Nebuchadnezzar, and there he was in a foreign land. He was a young man when he was taken, and he had to endure what such people had to endure. But God was with him and God blessed him, and that was a wonderful thing. We're taking as our text this morning verse 17, but I do want to talk really about the whole story. There are two words in that verse 17 that I'd like to dwell on in particular. The first one is the decree, and the second one is the intent. The verse reads, "The matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth it up over the basis of men." The decree and the intent. There was a decree that came from heaven, and God had an intention in giving that decree. That's roughly what I'd like to say this morning. This story is recorded by Nebuchadnezzar, but I have no doubt about it that Daniel wrote out what Nebuchadnezzar said. I say that because you read in the New Testament, of course, that the scriptures came through holy men of God who were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what we read in Peter. So the things that are recorded in the Bible are things that were written by holy men of God. And you might think to yourself, well, I don't know that Nebuchadnezzar showed much holiness. But Daniel was certainly a holy man. And Daniel recorded the words of Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, that's not a thing that's altogether unheard of in the Bible. Because you have the story of Job, a whole book of Job, where men spoke things about which God says he was very angry because they didn't speak that which was right concerning him. Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar, they all three of them, but it was Job that recorded the words that they said. And of course you have it in various places throughout the Bible. In the New Testament you might say that there are even words by people like Herod and Caiaphas which are recorded for us, but these are words that were spoken by men who may not have been regarded as holy men of God, but they were recorded for us by holy men. And in this case, of course, our chapter for us, you read it through and you think that Nebuchadnezzar was writing the chapter, but he didn't write it at all. It was Daniel that wrote it, and he wrote down the very words that Nebuchadnezzar said. Now you will know the story. Nebuchadnezzar had this dream of this great and mighty tree that reached up into heaven. Beasts were in the branches and beasts sheltered under it and all that kind of thing. But then the tree was cut down completely. Just the stump was left in the ground. And Nebuchadnezzar was concerned about this dream. He didn't know what it meant. So he called together, it says here, all his wise men, the magicians and the soothsayers and so on. He brought them all together and asked them to tell him what the dream meant, but they could not tell him. And then last of all, he brought in Daniel. And he asked Daniel what the dream meant. And Daniel was silent for about an hour. Well, an hour it was. It says that, doesn't it, there? He didn't speak for an hour. And then he told Nebuchadnezzar what the dream meant. It was a message from God. And when you read this chapter, you read in the second verse that what Nebuchadnezzar says is this: I thought it good to show them wonders, signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. Nebuchadnezzar was brought to see that God himself had spoken to him. How great are his signs, says verse 3, and how mighty are his wonders, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now Nebuchadnezzar was a great king. He was a great king. Really, he was the greatest king of all time. He had more power than our queen has. We might think this is Great Britain, and it's my school days anyway. It was a mighty empire. But Nebuchadnezzar was really the greatest. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive. That was the power that Nebuchadnezzar had. He had complete power over the whole situation. It was certainly the largest empire of early times. And if you read back into chapter 2, you'll remember that he had a previous dream, and it was a dream of an image which had a head of gold and arms and breast of silver and thighs and belly of brass and legs of iron and the feet iron of clay. But when Daniel was giving him the interpretation, he said to him, thou art this head of gold. And this gold, he said, is a superior metal over silver and brass and iron. So Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was greater over the kingdoms that were to follow. And we know that is true. Because when Darius wanted to preserve Daniel from going in the den of lions, he couldn't do so. If there had been Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, he would have just said, Daniel's not going in the den of lions. Nebuchadnezzar had that power. He was a great king. And we can rightly imagine, it's easy to imagine, isn't it, that he was greatly fortified. He would have his soldiers all around him, guarding him, and there would be no one that could penetrate to do anything contrary to what Nebuchadnezzar desired. He wouldn't have had all the things that happen in our country today. He had such power over all the people. But he may have had his great palace in Babylon, and it was a great palace. I expect you remember that Saddam Hussein, when he was in Iraq, and of course Babylon is Iraq, we're talking about the same country that Saddam Hussein was governor over for some time. Saddam Hussein wanted to build his kingdom on the same kind of basis that Nebuchadnezzar had. He wanted to be like Nebuchadnezzar, and he wanted to rebuild Babel, or rebuild Babylon. And he set about putting that into operation, didn't he? You remember the Saddam Hussein, no doubt. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had all this fortification, and there he was, the greatest king really of all time. And no one could do contrary to Nebuchadnezzar. But there is a God in heaven. And it didn't matter about the walls of Babylon. It didn't matter about the soldiers, the guards, or what have you. God penetrated right to where Nebuchadnezzar was and gave him a dream that caused him to tremble. Isn't that what he says there? I feared. I saw a dream, says verse 5, which made me, the great Nebuchadnezzar, afraid. You see, God had an intention with all this, to teach Nebuchadnezzar something. Made him afraid. And he couldn't settle. He couldn't rest. He was resting previously. That's what he said, wasn't it, in the earlier verses, verse 4, I was at rest in mine house. He thought he was safe and secure from everything. But God can reach anybody, anywhere, anyhow. A preacher may not have been able to go and visit Nebuchadnezzar and preach the gospel to him. But God spoke to him directly and gave him this dream which made him afraid. So there are the two little thoughts, the decree and the intention. How did it all set about? Well, we've mentioned the dream, haven't we? He dreamed and he told the magicians, that's what it says in verse 7, and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. These were his wise men. Verse 6 says, bring in all the wise men of Babylon. Well, they obviously didn't do that because Daniel was very great amongst the wise men of Babylon and they didn't bring him in. It says later on that at the last, verse 8, at the last, Daniel came in before him. He called all these others in before Daniel. Isn't that a fact, dear friends? Daniel was the one who interpreted the dream. Well, he not only interpreted, but he told Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was. When Nebuchadnezzar had this dream of this great image, he couldn't remember what he dreamed. And the magicians and the soothsayers and the Chaldeans and so on, they couldn't tell him what he dreamed. They said to him then, tell us, you'll read it all in Daniel 2, tell us what you dreamed and we'll tell you the interpretation. But Nebuchadnezzar said, I can't tell you the dream, I've forgotten it. But Daniel, he went to the God of heaven, we read. And he asked the God of heaven to show him the dream. And God did show him the dream. And he was able to go into Nebuchadnezzar and tell the dream. And he told him the interpretation, what it meant. And yet, when we come to this story in chapter 4, Daniel doesn't seem to be called. You would have thought Daniel would have been the first one to have been called. But it says there in verse 8, at the last, he was the last one to be called. It's strange as well, isn't it, really? Because when Nebuchadnezzar had had that previous dream, he had said to the magicians and soothsayers and Chaldeans and so on, he had said to them, tell me the dream. They had said to him, you tell us what you dreamed. They said, there's no man who would ask such a thing. But you tell us what you dreamed, and we'll tell you what it means. We'll tell you the interpretation. But in this particular case, in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar did tell them the dream. But they couldn't tell him the interpretation. That all seems rather strange to me, because Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of this great tree which reached up to heaven. And it's described there, isn't it? Verse 10, I saw and beheld a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. Who do you think it could have meant? It seems amazing to me that those magicians and soothsayers didn't understand that that was speaking of Nebuchadnezzar. You might almost say that it was strange that Nebuchadnezzar didn't think of it himself. Who else on the earth was like that? And it does say there about a man's heart being taken from it. That's a little later down, in a later verse. Can't see the verse just now. Verse 16 is, yes. Let a man's heart be given unto him. Let his heart be changed. So, it was speaking about a man. And what other man could it have been but Nebuchadnezzar? And yet no one seems to understand this. It just goes to show, doesn't it, that God can close people's minds so they cannot see the obvious. Not even all these wise men of Babylon, not even the great Nebuchadnezzar himself could see it. Because God had a purpose that his man, Daniel, would be the one who would speak about the dream. Well, there we are. It was a big thing, wasn't it? The dream of the tree, it was so strong, says verse 11. But in verse 14, there was a watcher that came down, a holy one, notice that word holy, one of God's people, came down from heaven. And what he cried was this, see in verse 14, hew down the tree, cut off the branches, shake off his leaves, scatter the fruit, let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with the head of iron and brass, and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, let his portion be with the beast and of the grass of the earth, and so on. This matter, says our text, verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the Holy One. It's got to come to pass. Well, you can understand the way why Nebuchadnezzar has to admit that he was afraid. But he called in Daniel. And I like the way Daniel comes in, don't you? He says to him, O Belteshazzar. Now, didn't we read in an earlier verse that he called him Belteshazzar? Verse 8, it says there, he gave him the name of Belteshazzar according to the name of his God. But his real name was Daniel. And you will know the L at the end of Daniel is the name of God. So that Daniel had the name of God in his name. But Nebuchadnezzar sought to take that out. And he put in the name of his God, Bel. And he called him Belteshazzar. And he called him Belteshazzar. But when Daniel is writing this, he doesn't use that name Belteshazzar, except when he quotes Nebuchadnezzar. He says there in verse 8, Daniel came in. Daniel came in. And there was Belteshazzar according to the name of his God. And then he says in verse 18, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. That word holy has come before, of course. It says, comes in verse 8, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand much about gods, did he? He had his god Bel, and he gave Daniel a name which included the name Bel. But really Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand. Now, there's not a multiplicity of gods. He talks about the spirit of the holy gods. But there's only one true and living God. Daniel knew that. There was only one God. But Nebuchadnezzar speaks about gods. And he speaks about them as being holy gods. So with all his limited understanding, he could understand that there was something about Daniel that his gods, what he thought, were holy gods. Holy gods. Well, that's how he speaks to Daniel. And Daniel is asked to give the explanation. We read in that verse 18 that for 1 hour he was astonished. He was surprised about it all. He didn't want to say, really, what was he knew to be the answer to the dream. Do you see that in verse 18? 19? His thoughts troubled him. And then at last, after being there for an hour and saying nothing, Nebuchadnezzar to him says, just tell me what the dream means. And so Daniel has to answer and say, my Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. He tells him what the dream means. The tree that he saw, whose leaves were fair and the fruit much and so on, the beasts and the fowls taking advantage of it. He says in verse 22, it is thou, O king. It is thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong. But whereas, says verse 23, thou didst see a watcher and holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump. Daniel had to explain to him in verse 24 that this is the decree of the Most High, that they shall drive thee, the great Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel had to say that to Nebuchadnezzar. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. The great Nebuchadnezzar, just living with animals. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, not sitting at a king's table, but eating grass. This was the great Nebuchadnezzar. This is what Daniel was telling him would happen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times, that's 7 years of course, shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Daniel does give him a little bit of advice in verse 27. We'll come to that later. But that was what was going to happen. That was the decree of God. It was all going to happen. The advice was good. He told him to leave off his sins and perhaps God would give him a little more time. But it was going to happen. It was going to happen. And sure enough, you know, of course, it did happen. It all happened just as Daniel said. Nebuchadnezzar one day was in his palace. We read that, didn't we, in verse 30. And he thinks, what a great city this Babylon is. I've built it. It's all what I've done. And he was taken up with his pride. And verse 31 said, while the word was in the king's mouth, at that very moment, the voice came from heaven that what God had decreed would come to pass. Dear friends, this is a principle of Scripture, that whatever God decrees must come to pass. It must happen. And it did happen here in the case of Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from his kingdom. He did eat grass. His nails of his fingers grew long like birds' claws. He had feathers growing on him. This great king, who was so great, was brought to that condition. If God says a thing, he means it. And when he says a thing, it must surely come to pass. Well, that's what happened here in the story. It all happened. And it did happen for the 7 years that Daniel had said. That was the time that Nebuchadnezzar was thus brought into that position. What was the intention? Well, God says what the intention was, doesn't he? It was that he may know. What verse is that? Verse 25, that thou wilt know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was such a great ruler, but he had to learn that he was going to be subject to a greater one, the Most High, the one true and living God. And of course Nebuchadnezzar was brought to that, because when you read the end of the chapter, he says there, now I know, verse 34 is it, my reason returned to me, and all the inhabitants of the earth are subject to God. He realized that was the position. God did bring him there. And another intention was that he might learn to turn from sins. Look at verse 27. Daniel's advice is, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. God does have lessons to teach, doesn't he? He does want us all, not just Nebuchadnezzar, he does want us all to understand that he is the sovereign God in control of everything. He is the Most High. He knows all about us. He can speak to us however much we may seem to be guarded. And he will have his way, and he can bring the highest down. But there is this lesson too, that we are to break off from our sin. We all do things that are wrong, I know. I do, you do. But God's revelation is given to us that we might break off from our sin, that we may realize God is a holy God, and he expects us to walk in the path of righteousness as well as in the path of truth. These were great lessons to be learned, weren't they? And Nebuchadnezzar had to learn them. That was God's word to Nebuchadnezzar. God made a decree for him, and he had an intention in him. And we do well to learn that intention too. May God bless his word to us.